Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I am very, very, very excited to be able to share the word with you on tonight. I'm looking forward to an exciting time because, praise God, God gave me my topic just a few moments ago, and I'm going to talk about her in a minute. But nevertheless, I'm so excited that you tuned in. So if this is your first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm excited because, amen, you're here. And so however you logged in or dialed in, thank the person that invited you. If it was me, amen. But if it was somebody else, praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because our goal is to educate, to encourage, and to empower. We want to educate you because every time we talk about the word, it should be encouraging. Amen. Nevertheless, we want to make sure that you learn something. And so we want to make sure that you, you're excited about whatever it is that God lays on your heart. And so it may not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that God will excite you and give you the empowerment to do what is necessary to make the necessary changes. And when you're empowered to make those changes, then be empowered to share it with someone else. And so, again, our goal is to encourage, to educate, and to empower. I am very, 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 very excited to say that I have some very special people that have been with me for 11 years. Can you believe that? We have been in this thing for 11 years. I'm so excited that they pray for me. They keep me encouraged. They keep me focused. They keep me wanting to study more so that I can make sure that I am staying true to the call of God and doing what he calls me to do, and that is to teach. And I love teaching, and so I know that it's an assignment that God has given me. And so I still need to be encouraged. I still need to be motivated to study. Scary enough, but I do, because my flesh gets weak. And so I'm grateful that I have those of you that have been with me. Like I said, whether it's been 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 days, amen, the whole 11 years, you keep me focused and you keep me motivated to do what God has called me to do, and I'm grateful for that. So I can't call you all by name, but I do call two people by name, and that is Jesse and Tammy Stowe, because without them, I wouldn't have known this platform was available to me. And so I'm grateful that they bless me and that they keep me encouraged, they keep me focused, and they continue to be the examples that I need to see, amen, that we can do this thing. We can do what God has called us to do, even though the enemy is busy, but nevertheless, God is busier, amen. And so because we have examples, because we have people that support us, we can run on and see what the end is going to be, amen. So I always start the show with an upbeat song. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no, because when he says no, nobody can say yes. And then I make sure that I thank you for tuning in, because you can be spending your time doing something else. And so I'm grateful that you tune in and that you listen. And then we go to God before we start our lesson. So let's go ahead and go to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to know you and to make you known. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to have an intimate relationship with you. We thank you that you've given us so many things. But more importantly, Father, we thank you for these three precious resources. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we can't thank you enough for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that the word gives us the roadmap that we need, that gives us instructions, that gives us direction. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit that encourages us and nudges us when, we may be going in the wrong direction, or when we need to stop and pay attention and meditate and think about the things that you've said to us in the word that we read. And then, praise God, we thank you that you seal it up with the blood that gives us the power, gives us the power, gives us the anointing. And I have to say power, Lord, because we need the power in this system. We need to know that we have what it takes to stand tall, to stand true, to do what you've called us to do, and that is to be your soldiers, to be the banner that you called us to be in this interesting zone that we live in this interesting time. And so we thank you, Father, that you have given us all the resources that we need to be what you called us to be, to do what you called us to do. And so for that, Father, we say thank you. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to speak on tonight, that there'll be no distractions, no delays, that your word will permeate our hearts and will allow us to move in the direction that you have us to go in. And when, Father, we feel like we can't start, that you give us whatever we need to jumpstart us, to make sure that we know that we can always trust you and allow you to direct our path. So, Father, again, we just thank you for all those that are listening and all those that are listening in the future, Father, that may not just be listening to tonight, but praise God that we'll be listening in the future. We'll get the same frame of word. Remove anything that may hinder this lesson from going forth. So, Father, we ask that you forgive us so that we can come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy. Whatever you call me a child of God. I'm so excited on tonight for the lesson that God gave. And so it was so exciting because I didn't quite know what to label what I was talking about tonight. And then I didn't quite know the direction that God really wanted me to go in. But I knew he was going to show up because he always shows up and he shows up on time. And so I had an interesting conversation with a new friend of mine, praise God, that I met and have enjoyed chatting with and talking with. And our children have become good friends. And so I'm excited to be able to share that she was the motivation to God giving me the topic for tonight. And so the topic that God blessed me with tonight is you can't start until you start. And so that was so exciting to me when she said it and how she said it. And she was just talking. And you know, that's how God rests me and makes me understand that this is it. And so it was in her, just her motivation, because she was motivating me, because I was telling her that I had the radio and I've been doing radio for a long time. And I said, but I really wanted to go ahead and do what God called me to do and to do this TV program. But I was, I guess to tell the truth, fearful, because I didn't quite know or believe that I had everything that I needed. Did I have the right equipment? Did I have the right background? Did I have the right content? Did I look right? You know, there's just so many excuses that I gave myself to not move forward in the things that God blessed me with, because praise God, gave it to me. And so she told me years ago that if she had got to a point where she was able to have a radio program or a TV program, well, radio too for that matter, she said radio or TV, that she's going to remember me because I was one of her instructors and I blessed her. I told her it wasn't me, it was God. But nevertheless, she got her TV program and she said, Leah, you know, I want you to do this. And I have backpedal. And so, amen. When I talked to my new friend today, she was like, you can't start until you start. And if you look when everybody starts, they always have humble beginnings because, amen, they're starting. But you can't start until you start. And so I began to ask God, Lord, well, what is the real problem? What is the hindrance? What is the distraction? What is the delay that prevents not just me, but all of us from walking in the assignments that God has called, or walking in the direction that he wants us to go in? What prevents us from applying for jobs? What prevents us from talking to people? What prevents us from believing that he will deliver or bring us through, or whatever it is that we're going through? What is it that prevents us? And most of the time, it's some hindrance that the enemy has put in our place that makes us believe that we can't do something. So I am here to kind of share some information that I've even shared before, and not too even long ago, but I had to be reminded. And so when I was looking for my base scripture, God gave me what he already had given me before. And so I thought, well, Lord, you know, some of us that, you know, listen on a regular basis may seem that it's familiar. And he's like, but are you doing it? I'm like, amen, Lord, you got that right. Amen. So just, you know, the word comes by, you know, our faith is built by hearing. And so we got to keep hearing and hearing until we get it in our knowing. And once we get it in our knowing, then we can start applying what it is that God would lay on our heart. And so the scripture reference is going to be several. And so I'll make sure, because I know my sister is listening, that she always writes down the scriptures. I'm hoping that she goes back and listens to them. Amen. But nevertheless, she always writes them down. And so praise God, it's important that I make sure that I say them, because you too may want to make sure that you go back and read them in your time. And so the first scripture that we'll start with is John 14:14. And I love this because it prefaces that Jesus is comforting his disciples. And many times we need to be comforted. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. Now, the coolest thing about us believing in God is that sometimes we really don't believe. Yes, I said that. We don't believe. We say we do, but we really don't. Because when we say, when the doctor says you have cancer, the immediate thought is not God's going to deliver me, is am I going to die? You know, how long am I going to have to do this? Is my hair going to fall out? And what kind of meds am I going to take? Who am I going to tell? What doctor am I going to go to? And, you know, how am I going to pay for this? All these things come to our mind. And so how is it that we allow our hearts to be troubled when the Bible clearly says Do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay, maybe cancer is too far for you, but maybe it's a bill. Maybe it's, you know, you're troubling on whether you're going to lose your job or you're not going to be able to pay your mortgage or you're not going to be able to do the things that, you know, you've been really believing God to do, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Well, I'm here to comfort you, to let you know that God says, don't let your heart be troubled. You have to believe. He says, when I go away, I'm going to a place to prepare for you. And where I'm going, you can go too. But I love, love, love. And that's what I think sometimes we forget and we don't have in our knowing, that it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, I'm going to say that again. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So what is it that prevents us from believing? What is it that prevents us from understanding? What does that really mean? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are so many questions that we encounter in this system, in this journey that we call life. But I think we forget that Jesus is the way, because we're so busy trying to figure out our way that we forget to give complete everything to him. He says in his word, don't lean to your own understanding. Trust me and I will direct your path. Somehow we forget that Proverbs when the phone call or when the report comes or when the situation changes or when the storm comes. We somehow forget, and so I'm reminded even of the disciples. Now, I can't imagine, but I can imagine when you really think about it, because Jesus is with us. But I can't imagine him being in the flesh, standing next to me, being with me, and me being afraid on a boat when I've seen all the things that he's done. But then I'm reminded, Leah, you've already seen all the things he's done. He's healed you from cancer. He's healed you from strokes. He's healed you from tumors. He's given you sight. He's provided for you when there didn't seem like there was a way. So how is that any different than the disciples in the boat clamming up because the storm was coming? It's the same. But we get caught up because it's easier for us to look at somebody else and say, wow, why didn't the disciples believe? If Jesus was in the boat and he was asleep, he had to be assured that he could calm the storm, because how could he sleep when they were fearful and they were caught up because the storm was so amazing that they thought they were all going to die. And here Jesus is asleep. And I like one of the verses, and it says that he had a pillow. Deep sleep. Amen. Resting. And so I'm reminded that this weekend, was treacherous, because I have been doing some things, amen, with some really wonderful people, and I've been standing for a long time, and so it has caused havoc on my back. And so from Thursday to Friday afternoon, Friday night, I didn't even get out of bed. My back was hurting so bad. And then every time I moved or rocked, it was like the pain got intense. And of course, I've been trying to not take as much medicine, at least the narcotics that I've been given, because it's easy for me to pop a pill, because, amen, I have so many of them. I'm trying not to do them. Of course, I fill the prescriptions, because, you know, I want to make sure I stay on the right, again, walking in my way. But nevertheless, I fill the prescriptions, so I have quite a few. But this particular weekend, I have no muscle relaxing, and my back is out of control. And the pain got worse, and it seemed like I'm resting. And so, you know, everybody's like, yeah, you're busy. But I wasn't. I've been in the bed Saturday, still in the bed, but just crippled, literally, with pain. And so the pain was getting worse, because it was not only in my back, it had moved up to my shoulder and into my neck where I couldn't turn. And so I have 1,000 pillows on my bed. But for that purpose alone, because when I have challenges with my back, I have to make sure that I'm propped up proper, so that when I sleep, because sometimes if I sleep too flat, it'll cause problems. Sometimes if I don't sleep in the right position, then it bothers my stomach. So, I mean, it's challenging, to say the least. But nevertheless, I keep it moving, because I know that God is with me, and praise God, he's delivered me for so many things. But this weekend was concerning, because I thought, I may need to go to the emergency room, because this was a little bit more than normal. And so I thought, you know, I don't want to alarm my children. And, you know, I don't know where I get this, not telling nobody, but nevertheless. So I'm keeping my pain to myself. And so it gotten to the point where now it's behind my ear. And now my head is hurting. And so I thought, okay, well, Lord, I got to take something. But I don't want to do the narcotics. I really don't want to go there because I'm doing things differently. And I'm trying to eat better. I'm trying to drink more water. I'm trying to get my life. And I don't want to have that stuff in my system. So I thought, Lord, what can I do? I mean, and then, of course, the medicine of my choice, I'm out of. And so I thought, well, Lord, yeah, okay, I'll pray. And so, okay, I prayed, and it still didn't quite move the pain the way that I wanted. And so my nephew was here, and so, you know, of course, he always excites me. And he slept with me. And so, praise God, he took all the covers, and then my daughter slept in the room because, you know, we're all having this thing. And so she likes the fan. And so the ceiling fan was so high and so cold. And, of course, they're not cold, but I'm freezing. But I couldn't even get out of the bed to turn the fan off because I couldn't move. I was hurting so bad. I thought, Lord, I got to do something different. What do I do? Where do I go? And why was the word not my first recourse? I mean, I prayed, but I probably should have got the word, but I watch TV. And I watch a lot of TV. And amen, it got to the point where I kind of got beside myself a little bit because I didn't even want to pray no more because I was like, oh, I'm just going to go to the doctor. I'm going to get therapy. And then I went to the Icy Hot, and so my daughter rubbed the Icy Hot until they gave me some relief. Then I had to get up, and I had to lay in the lounge chair because it was overwhelming. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take a shower, let the hot water beat on my back, you know. Look, I got to do something because I got to move tomorrow. I got to do something. And so praise God. I have these really cool friends call them my golden girls. And so a message went out, you know, let's get together. And for whatever reason, amen, that was a shift for me. And so sometimes God gives you a way of escape. And, you know, and the Bible says that he provides a way of escape. And so the excitement of me seeing them gave me a little motivation to move. And so I have a project that I'm working on for my aunt. And I say, okay, look, I got to get this done. I want to get this done. And then I want to be prepared for my assignment that I had today. So I'm like, Lord, I need a little strength to get up. And so, of course, you know, I read a couple of scriptures. I listened to a couple of songs. And so it gave me the motivation. And in the midst of my motivation, I listened to Vashawn Mitchell. And so I don't know if many of you that know me, many of you that do know me, know that Vashawn Mitchell used to be a member of our church. And we were very close at one time because we took a lot of his pictures and different things at the church. And so the song was moving to me. Now, Nobody Greater is always my favorite. But this particular song was a little different. You know, I know that His Blood still works, always moves me. But now I can't remember the name of the song, but let me see if God showed it to me. But nevertheless, I looked up the verses. And so I thought, wow, Lord, amen. If I just trust you, if I just lean on you. And so the words became just so soothing and so moving to me that I wrote him. And I told him, you know, I'm sharing you this testimony, the short version, just because, you know, I know that he goes through a lot, you know, in his walk and in his life. And I wanted to make sure that he knew that his assignment was directed to at least to me, and that he needed to stay motivated to do what God's called us to do. And so sometimes we forget, if we never start the assignment that God gives, we may be blocking other people's blessings. And so I wanted to make sure that he was encouraged, to let him know whatever he was going through, if he may have been feeling kind of like in a funk like I was, that what he was doing was necessary because the words of that song motivated me and gave me hope. You know, the call from my girls that said that, you know, we were going to get together. And then my cheerleading friends called, and, you know, they want to get together. And so God knows how to motivate us if we just trust him. And then I got a blow last night that a friend of mine from high school died. And I thought, wow, Lord, why did I take that so personal? I took it personal because it was, this is somebody that I could have reached out to or said something to. And I was like, I asked my daughter, I'm like, why do we take that personally sometimes when people that are close to us, and I hadn't talked to her since high school, but I somehow felt connected, like I was responsible for not reaching out to her before she passed. And I thought, wow, Lord, is it because we can get so caught up in our own situations? And here I am in the bed for the whole weekend from Thursday until yesterday, completely in the bed because I made it downstairs maybe twice. Because I was in so much pain, but praise God, I persevered, you know, and pressed. But it made me think how much I missed allowing myself to be so caught up on my pain and not being caught up on the things of God. Maybe if I had really got involved, that I wouldn't have been as confined to the bed. Maybe I would have put something together. Maybe I could have done something from the bed, but I allowed myself to get caught up in TV, and so I lost some time, if you will. And so when I talked to my new friend today, and when she said, you know, sometimes we get caught up and we just have to start. You just have to start. And I thought, Lord, sometimes we can get so caught up in this system because we allow the enemy to talk to us and confuse us and to make us think that you can't do that. That the proverb said that sometimes a way seems right to a man, but at the end of it is death. And so if I continue to just lay, you know, and not push myself and not move, not stretch, because most of my pain is I could do therapy that I've been, you know, assigned to go to, but I hadn't made time to go. I have all these gadgets where I can, you know, massage my back. Haven't used any of those. And so God began to remind me that I think that what's best for me is laying down, which could be hurting me more than anything because I'm not moving. And so I am reminded that I have to remember that I have to trust God and I have to listen to him. And all those songs from Vashon Mitchell were motivating me to move, motivating me to get up, that there's nobody greater. You know, nobody can heal like he can. But my confidence was in pills that I didn't have, that I had to get enough energy so that I could go to the doctor and get medicine. I think sometimes we forget who our source is. And so we have to be reminded, and that's why the word is so important. He says, I am the way. Only through the person that created our bodies knows exactly what we need. And sometimes we choose to accept what the enemy says instead of what God says. And so I had to make a decision. No, I'm going to thank God. He made a way for me. He made a way for me. And he doesn't shout. And I think that's some of the things that I kind of wish God shouted, like the enemy, because the enemy shouts all the time. He whispers. And he whispers and he speaks to our soul. He speaks to our heart. And so when we're angry, when we're confused, when we're scared, when we're running from him, and that's basically what we do when we make excuses. We're running from the opportunities that he gives. We're running from the assignments that he gives. And why? Because we don't trust. We don't believe in the truth. When he says that he is the truth, he is the way, he is the life. Why is it that we look for answers from the world and we don't look to him for those answers? And so we know that his word is our instruction manual. I love Romans 10 and 9. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Now, many of us believe we're saved, and we're saved, we're Christians all day long. I believe I gave my life on a Sunday morning. I gave my life on a Friday night. We believe that. But we can't believe that he'll deliver us or heal us or set us free. We got to work on that. And so we got to remember that we have to use our mouths. We use our mouths to renew our minds. And when we don't use our mouths to renew our minds, the enemy is constantly reminding you in your mind that you're not good enough,
that you're not smart enough, that you don't know enough scriptures, that, you know, you're too fat to be on TV, or you're too, I mean, it's just excuses, and we believe it. We believe it. And so the thing that I think that we have to remember, and that's why I love my Golden Girls, because several years ago, amen, several years ago, almost 20 years ago, which is scary, we used to get together every morning on Thursday mornings, and we would go line upon line, precept upon precept on the word. And that was when I had my foundation. And so when I get with them, I am reminded that we have a good time. But I am reminded of where my foundation lies. My foundation lies in the word. And because my foundation lies in the word, I have to remember that Proverbs 18 says that the power of life and death is in my mouth. It's in my mouth. Most of us spend our lives not really realizing that we're speaking the life that we live. I am creating when I say, oh, I'm in so much pain, I can't move. Well, yep, that's exactly what I had. I couldn't move. Amen. Versus, the Lord's going to heal me and deliver me from this pain. He's going to give me some motivation. He's going to show me what I need to do to be able to get out this bitch and be able to do what he's called me to do. But my thought was, I'm just going to lay here because I'm tired, because I'm busy. What was I doing from Thursday to Sunday? I was in the bed milking. Now, granted, I was hurting, but maybe if my communication had been different, maybe if my mindset had been different. The Bible says in Luke 6:45, it says that, and I love that it says, Jesus says, out of the heart your mouth speaks. So what was in my heart? Was in my heart that I wanted to be in the bed and watch TV? I mean, when I really just be honest with myself, is that what I really want to do? I didn't want to do nothing. I just wanted to lay down, and I wanted to take advantage of just having the free time to be able to just do that. And so I allowed the pain to cripple me and to paralyze me and keep me in the bed. Maybe the pain was really there. Maybe it's something I really need to pursue. But how about today was different? How about today I moved? How about today I moved a couple of times and I felt a little twitch, but praise God, I just moved a little differently. And so I was able to move, but I was renewed. I was renewed because I changed my mindset. And then I got into the word. And I love Isaiah 51. It says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were shown or hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth. When I called him, he was only one man, and now he's blessed and made him many. It's sometimes when we read these stories, we just kind of gloss over them, but that's significant. He had one child, one, and one that he was asked to sacrifice. Would we have been able to do that? If I could lay in the bed from Thursday to Sunday, do I think that I could really take my children up to an altar and sacrifice them? I'm praying that I would be obedient, but I mean, amen. I'm going to have to make sure I get more into the word, because I think that I would have some doubt. And I'm convinced when we talk about Lot and his wife, there is too much going on in the world that I believe, I don't know that I would be strong enough not to look back. Not to even like kind of glance or, I mean, just all that confusion going on behind me, and I couldn't turn. Things we got to do better. Why is it? We have to do better because the word tells us that the Lord will surely comfort us, and he will look to us with compassion, and that he will turn our wastelands into the gardens of the Lord, that we'll operate in joy and gladness, that we will sing with thanksgiving. This is awesome. Isaiah 51. I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, but it says, listen to me, my people, hear me, my nation. Instructions will go out from me. My justice will become light to the nations. My righteousness will draw near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. And the eyes will look to me and will wait and hope for my arm. Say, when I heard that, that immediately took me to Isaiah 41, where his righteous hand, amen. But let me go back to 51. And let's get down to 7. It says, hear me, You who know what is right, you people who have taken my instruction to heart. I knew that was for me because I really believe in the word. I really do. But sometimes I get caught up, like the rest of the scripture says. It says, do not fear the reproach of mere mortals or be terrified by their insults. Leah, you know, your back's inverted and you're going to need some therapy. You may need surgery. And so, amen. If I continue to listen to them, verse 8 says, the moths will eat them up like garments, and the worms will devour them like wool. But my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. Am I saying that God's going to heal my back? He might. Amen. But I can't get caught up and allow myself to not be obedient to what he's called me to do because I'm worried about my back. Amen. It says in verse 9, awake. Awake. It says it twice, so that's significant. We can be so asleep and not see the things that the wool that the enemy is pulling over our eyes. Girl, yeah, stay in the bed because you tired. You know, you tired. And I like the even the rest of this scripture says, awake as in days gone by, because days went by, and as generations of old, what could I have been doing in 3 days? What could I have been doing? Maybe I could have done it from the bed even. But, amen, I allowed myself. And then the funniest thing was the Lord showed me while I was laying there. You know, you do have these able teenagers that can give them assignments and you delegate. Amen, that's a word. I could delegate. But, amen, I didn't even allow my mind to go there. Why? Because, praise God, I was not focused on the right thing. Verse 11 says, those the Lord has rescued will return. Praise God, he gave me an opportunity to return. And they will enter Zion with singing and everlasting joy, and their crown will be on the amen. I keep my crown because, you know, I was queen. Amen. So I keep my crown. But can you imagine what a crown from heaven is going to be like? Amen. Some little bitty sparkles, amen, that ain't even real. I'm going to have a real crown because I'm a king's kid. And so it says gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sin will flee away. Because I, even I who comfort you who are a fear, mere mortals, human beings, but a mere grace, you forget the Lord, your maker, who stretches from heaven, who lays the foundations of the earth. You constantly live in terror every day because the wrath of your oppressor, who is bent on destruction. We got to stop listening to the enemy. It says in verse 15, where our main focus is, I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that the waves roar. I am Almighty God. He's Almighty. And in 16, I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadows of my hand, who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, who says, Zion, you are my people. Saints, we are his people. We are king's kids. We have to believe. We have to put his word in our mouths so that we can say what he said. He didn't say that I was supposed to be sick. He said that he sent his word to heal me. And so I can't believe it if I'm not saying it. And I can't understand the concept if I don't keep it before me. Like I said, it sent me to Isaiah 41. I took you from the far ends of the earth corners, and I called you. You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Saints, we got to stop letting the enemy speak negative things to me. We have to develop our faith and let our faith just run over fear. We do that by renewing our minds. We are not powerless to anything that the enemy throws at us. We have power. We have power and authority. Why? Because that's what the word says. He gave us the power and authority to trample over scorpions and serpents and everything that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, to have it just swept underneath our feet. And it won't harm us. We have to know that we we have so much power over fear. And that we do that because of the blood of Jesus, and that we stand on the truth. He's the truth, he's the way, and he's the life. We have to believe that God is in control. We say he's on the throne. He's on the throne. He looks high and looks low. But when we get a diagnosis, or we have an unexpected expectation, or we're not sure about what we're going to do for the next day, we forget all about the power and authority. And then we forget that we're king's kids. We have to remember that God is in control. He's on the throne. And if that means nothing else, he can definitely deliver us from whatever it is that's troubling us. So that's why we have to memorize scripture. Now, these are quite a few scriptures that that I just want you to go to just Google scriptures on fear. And then pick whichever one that is good for you, amen, in whatever situation you're going into. I'm just going to paraphrase some of these, but I love this. Fear not, I am the, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my hand. I just said that one. That's Isaiah 41:10. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. That's Hebrews 13:5b and 6. For God gave us the spirit, for God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I say sound disciplined mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. That's Psalm 23:4. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear in the dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave nor forsake you. That's Deuteronomy 31:6. Peace I leave you, I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's John 14:27. And then one of my favorites, the Lord is my light and my salvation. For whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold. And in some version, the Lord is the strength of my life. For whom shall I be afraid? I know my sister's listening. But that was one of the songs we used to sing when we was in YPWW, Young Willing Workers for the Lord, or something to that effect. But it was, the Lord is the strength of my life. For whom shall I be afraid? The Lord, our Lord, is my life. He's my life. And so we got to remember that, saints. We got to remember that he is our light and he's our salvation. Because if we don't remember that, then amen, we allow the mind, the enemy, to trick our minds and make us have stinking thinking. We don't want stinking. We want to know that whatever God has assigned us to do, you can't start until you start. You got to start. I'm going to start praying every day. I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. I'm going to start. If it ain't just one scripture, and if it's one, the same scripture, every day, God gives, he gives grace to those that are diligent and consistent. I mean, we make believe that, you know, if we do the same scripture, that you know, somehow, again, letting the enemy bait us and make us think that that's not enough. God just wants time. That's it. My favorite, alternate favorite scripture is John 15:5. I am the vine, he is the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I can pray that scripture till I'm blue, because there is so many aspects of that scripture, because it's mine. I know he's the vine. Lord, I repent, because there are so many times that I try to be the vine and I can't. Only you can be the vine. I just need to be happy being a branch. Lord, I know sometimes it's hard being a branch, because I want you to work faster. But I know you can't move any faster than you want to, because if this is you, this is your game, amen. I'm just a player. So help me understand that. Help me to stay in my lane, because I can't do nothing without you anyway. So I need to just do what I need to do. Or, Lord, I thank you that the things that you are allowing me to do are going to remain. I mean, when you really think about that, that's serious. That's something. I have a friend that God blessed her to do a devotion for the month of February. And so I don't know if she's listening, but nevertheless, she'll be a little mad, but anyway, I'm gonna tell the business. So she was doing this project, and so God had laid on her heart to do a song and do a scripture and then do a prayer and then offer an assignment. And she mentioned it to somebody, and somebody was like, oh, wow, that's cool. And so she mentioned it to somebody, I don't know if they were assigned on another assignment or whatever, but she was like, oh, no, I don't know if I should do it now. And I'm like, what are you talking about? God gave you that assignment. It's going to have a different anointing on it. And so, you know, through the month, she got a little weary or whatever. And I'm like, well, amen, that's what you have friends for, to help you. You know, it's so funny how we can sometimes get so caught up because we believe that the assignments God gives are like a weight. And sometimes they can feel like a weight. But he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And he said that he's not going to let you do this alone and that what you do will remain. Now, I don't know who was blessed by the assignment that she did. But many of those days, I needed that word. And so I was encouraged and I was moved and I learned new songs because I'm not one that likes a lot of slow songs. I need, you know, something to pick me up. Lord, I don't want to be sad. I want, you know, go down Moses to Egypt land, led by people. I need some. Put your hands together. Amen. Give God praise. I want to be able. But I learned to listen to the word. To let that melody, you know, pierce my heart, which led me back to appreciate Rashawn Mitchell. And so I told him that. I said, you know, we took for granted having you in our presence every Sunday because, amen, he was there. And many of the songs he wrote just doodling at the piano during our praise and worship service. So we can honestly say that we were part of creating the environment and in that praise environment for those songs to go all over the world to bless people. But while we were there, we took it for granted. And so I told him, I said, I apologize that we took you for granted. But I am grateful that the melody and the words of those songs moved me into to the presence that God needed me to be in for me to recognize, this ain't about you, boo. You need to do what I called you to do. And then, praise God, he sent the message today. You can't start until you start. How are you going to, you can't start anything until you move. And that's the thing that some of us believe. If God gave it to me, amen, he's just going to make it happen. Well, no. You got to do your part. He'll bless you and lay it on your heart and give you the motivation to get it done. But you got to do your part. You're his hands and feet. He's done his part already. We are responsible for making sure that the motions, so we got to start. And it's unfortunate that we could get to heaven and he could say, this is what I have for you, but you never started. I just can't even imagine God saying, you know, Leah, this is all I have for you, but, you know, you couldn't get out to bed. You couldn't let go of the TV. You couldn't put down them Pepsis. Although, y'all, I ain't had a Pepsi in it. Well, it's been a couple of days, amen. I'm doing better. I've been drinking a lot of water. Got my water next to me, amen. But, amen, I just sometimes believe that we allow the enemy to beat us up and make us think, well, you know, you messed up today, so you might as well wait till the end of the month. And we do it. Why can't we just start? Like now, we can't start until you start. So we make New Year's resolutions, which I never, you know, got caught up in that because, amen, if you're not giving it to God and letting God lead you, you're not going to keep up with it because you haven't even yielded it to God, nor have you asked, is this what you're supposed to be doing? So we have to seek God and ask him, lead me, Father, guide me, show me. And then the funniest thing about God is that he knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows that we're flesh and that we're fallible. Now, we want to have a good time. But, you know, I know, you know, it's not all, you know, the Bible and singing, you know, come to Jesus. No, he knows that we want to enjoy ourselves, and he allows that. But the enemy makes us believe that, no, you got to be in the closet. You got to be on your knees. You got to wear knee pads because you're always going to be on your knees praying. You're always going to be looking up. So you got to get a brace for your neck because you're going to always be looking up to heaven. Saints, we got to do better. We got to make sure that we recognize who God is, and we got to talk to him. And so he can give us the assurance that we need. Now, I'm going to end on this note. I know I told many of y'all that it's been almost, well, maybe it's been a couple of years, but I tell people I used to be a pastor, and I was, amen, but now I'm a pimp. And I know that that really takes people to a whole nother level because they're thinking of the hats and the vest and the high heels and all that. And for a minute, it bothered me that I felt that I needed to become that persona to speak for myself. But there was a time that I didn't have the confidence to just say what I needed to say because I had become this mat because I allowed the enemy to make me believe that I had to constantly keep turning my cheeks and keep turning. And I was out of my face cheeks, I went to the butt cheeks. And I was a mess because I allowed people to take advantage of me. And I thought it was spiritually motivated to do it that way. And then God led me to, are you the head or the tail? You're the head, you're not the tail. And when people don't accept you, dust your feet up and keep it moving. And so when I realized, wow, okay, Lord, well, my daughter says I can't say I'm a pimp no more. So, you know, I was drawing attention, though. Amen. So people were listening. And so it was, what can I do to flip it? And so it was preaching in my purpose. Now, a couple people was like, well, you got to stop telling people that because they're going to steal it from me. I'm like, so what if they do? Amen. They can't use it how God gave it to me. I'm preaching in my purpose. I'm preaching in my passion. Preaching in my pajamas. Amen. But I'm preaching in the things that God called for me. And nobody can take that from me. Nobody. And so, amen, I am excited and I'm happy to be able to do what God called me to. And I want you to have that too. And the only way that you can have that peace is, one, we got to shut the door to the enemy and we got to start. We got to start renewing our minds. We got to start whatever it is that God has called us to do. And so if it's praying, if it's reading your word, if it's going back to church, whatever it is that he's called you to, be obedient in that and start. Because you can't start until you start. Whatever he told you to write the book, go back to school, whatever it is, you can't start until you start. And yes, you may not be able to be consistent right away, but eventually you will. Think about, you know, I think, you know, mere men. I mean, how many times it took Alexander Graham Bell to actually get it together before he actually figured out how to do the light? How long did it take Mr. Carver to figure out how to really master peanuts and all the creations and all the things that he did with a peanut? If he had the first time he made a mistake and he stopped, I mean, zippers, air conditioner, cups, spoons, forks. I mean, I'm sure these people didn't just, you know, whew, I made one trip and you know, and now it's a surefire invention that, you know, make millions. They had to keep trying, but they had to start somewhere. And so while we keep trying to make ourselves believe we got to be perfect coming out this shoot, myself included, amen, we'll never make it. We have to start somewhere. Even, you know, God gives us the examples of babies. You know, they don't start out walking. They don't even start out crawling, for that matter. It takes time. And so it takes time for us, too. But we got to start. You know, the babies, they're, you know, a little shaky, but they figure out their balance. And once they figure that out, then they take a step. And then one step, and then they're running. And then, amen, not only are they running, but they're running you. We got to start, saints. We got to start somewhere, wherever it is. Make a plan. And so, you know, I'm a big fan of paper and pencil and paper. So I thank God often whoever created paper and pencil, amen. Because when you write it down, the Bible even says that when you write it down, make it plain and others will support you. And my nephew always says, when you're ready to be a student, God will provide the teacher. But you got to write your plan down so that you can start, so you can go back to it. So even when the enemy trips you up and distracts you, you still have something to go back to for yourself. Yep, okay, so this is how I made my mistake this time, so I'm going to figure that out. Maybe now I'm going to involve some people so that they can keep me focused, so they can keep me true to the goals that God has laid on my heart to do. And then maybe I can stay longer because I could get distracted again. So what? You get distracted again. I was telling my students today, one of the ladies, she pushed on her teeth. today, and I laughed. And she's like, Dr. Happy, what you laughing at? And I said, I saw you, what you did with your hands, with your teeth. And she started laughing, and so other students were like, I want to laugh, what y'all talking about? And I said, do you mind if I share your business? She said, no, I don't mind. And I said, well, I'm going to tell my business first. I said, you know, God told me not to do them steroids, but I did them anyway because he was moving too slow. At least I thought he was moving so slow. And that's why John 15:5 became my scripture, because they said that if my eye was out of the socket for more than 6 months, I was going to be permanently blind. Moving on a year, and God hadn't moved yet, in my opinion. So I took a couple steroids, and that took to a lot more, and then they started injecting my eyes with steroids. And so little did I know that all those steroids that they were injecting in my eyes was seeping down into my gum line. And so who knew 16 years later when they discovered, well, they didn't even know that I had cancer at the time. They thought, oh, wow, whatever's going on in your body, we got to give you some steroids. Now, I knew that I had abused steroids from before because I was on 80 milligrams and, you know, 15, 20 is, you know, kind of tops for some people. And then we have a problem, maybe 30. I was 80, and they were injecting me on top of taking them orally. But nevertheless, God told me not to do it, and I did it anyway. And so now, 16 years later, I'm having challenges with my gums because my teeth, there is no, there's no bone because the steroid has eaten most of the bone. So I lost my upper teeth. So I had to have them removed. And so when she was playing with her teeth today, I was like, yeah, I understand. I said, you're not using the right adhesive. And she started laughing. And I said, you know, and so we had this conversation with each other, laughing with each other, and everybody else is completely confused. And then at the end, it was, you know, the Fixodent, the Polident works a whole lot better. But I found this tape. The tape works good too, but if you drink soda, if you drink something sticky or whatever, the amen, then it gets underneath, and amen, you have some problems. But the glue is just, oh. And so at the end of the day, the lesson of the story, or the moral of the story was, I was like, y'all brush your teeth. be obedient to God. Just be obedient. And so we can laugh. And so he was like, Dr. Happy, if you need to take them things out, you can. I said, oh, all you had to do is tell me that, amen, because, you know, amen, I don't like wearing them. No way, amen, because I'm me, and I don't mind, you know, amen, because no matter what, I know I'm a king's kid, so whether I have teeth or whether I don't, whether my eyes or my teeth, or I am a king's kid, and God's got me. Saints, we got to do better. We got to do better. Now, I know that I am never out of talk, but I am out of time, and I want to make sure I go over these scriptures again from my sister. So it was Isaiah 51, Isaiah 41, Hebrews 13, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, Psalms 23 and 4, Deuteronomy 31 and 6, John 14, 27, and Psalms 27 and 1. I'll say it real quick. Psalms 27 and 1, John 14, 27, Deuteronomy 31 and 23, 4, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, Isaiah 41, Isaiah 51, and then praise God, I think I started out with Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way, amen, and we know that is Proverbs 4. So, like I said, never out of talk, but I am out of time. Make sure you tune in again next week where we'll have another inspiring word, and we look forward to you tuning in with us again. I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song. Praise God, she's going on, but nevertheless, amen. Every praise belongs to God. She believed it, I believed it, and you do too. So again, tune in next week. This is Leah Killings with Empowered Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage and empower all to the glory of God. Make sure you start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful night. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers.
every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Is to our God. Take it up and give praise.
It's
to our God.
Every word of worship.
With one accord. Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
It's
to our God.
I want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah.
To our God.
Glory hallelujah.
It's
to our God.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.